On the Bicast, we strive to bring you information, support, and entertainment. This month, we have focused on bisexual representation in the media. We have many venues to cover, so let's get started. Sarah Stumpf and Ivan / Reed Peterson join us from Bisexual Books on Tumblr. Welcome.
Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, Sarah. Did I say your name right?
It's sort of. It's, you know, you can redo it if you want to. It's more like just Stumpf, and then the F is like maybe you think about saying the letter F slightly, but it's fine the way it is.
Okay, that's the whole thing about the internet. We know everybody's names, but we don't know how to say them.
I'm Odd.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Sarah.
I'm John.
And I'm Lynette. Okay, well, let's find out a little bit about you two. And Sarah, can you tell me what exactly is Bisexual Books?
Bisexual Books is a blog devoted to issues of bisexual representation in literature. Our URL is bisexual-books.tumblr.com. And we strive to really discuss all the different aspects of bisexual representation, starting with a basis in literature, in books, because that was the background of myself and Eleanor Moss, who founded the blog, 18 months ago, about that long ago, in 2013. And it's a blog focused on issues of bisexual representation in literature. We really got started doing it mostly because Ellie and I have known each other since we met in grad school in 2006, and it was kind of a common topic of conversation between both of us as bisexual women about how terrible the representations of bisexuals across all media were, but particularly because we were library science students, the representations in literature. And we both worked at the GLBT Student Support Services Library on the Indiana University campus, which is this great little office that sort of combines supporting students. It has a miniature library. It helps people with research. It coordinates activism and community engagement. But we noticed when we started to go through the library that had never been curated by any sort of librarian professional or anybody who was interested in that. It was more like two closets full of very disorganized books. We started to notice how few books there were about bisexuality and how truly terrible some of the only ones that we did have were. And we started discussing it. We started complaining it and about it. And we probably talked and bitched and moaned to each other from about 2006 to 2013. And then one day I was up really early on a Sunday morning and I had this like flash of brilliance. I'm like, Ellie and I should start a book blog. And then we can, instead of just complaining to each other, we can complain to the whole internet.
Perfect.
So that was how we started doing Bisexual Books, focusing on trying to find bisexual books, which is sometimes just like, it's like panning for gold. Mm-hmm. And trying to then, once we found it, review it, discuss it, ask if the representation was good or if it was stereotypical. You know, is this a book bisexual people should celebrate and run out and read, or is it something that we should back away from with our hands in the air because it's a train wreck? And we just happened to have started our blog the same year that they started doing a bisexual book awards. And so it was a really good time for us to start this discussion about bisexual representation in literature. And it's kind of, I think, grown from just being specifically books to being anything that really connects with media representations in literature, including TV shows like Game of Thrones that are based on books, or the upcoming Constantine shows, movies that things like Blue is the Warmest Color that were based on books originally.
Well, it's a much needed resource, and we really all appreciate you guys so much.
Thanks.
Yeah. You know, back when the LAMIs began including bi categories, I was part of the Bi Books Yahoo group, and really, it's kind of still around, but we were doing some of that stuff before the social media kind of blew up. My question is for Evan. Talk about the crew for the Bi Book Tumblr page, and who's all involved and what do they do?
Well, Bisexual Books, as Sarah noted, was started by her and Eleanor Moss, and they ran the thing for, I don't know, a little bit over a year, I guess, before they decided they wanted to branch out into a little bit more of a diverse group of people blogging for them. And so I don't even remember who pointed them to me, but they put a call out on the internet, and some random person that I knew on Google Plus put their call forward, and I followed that and decided, well, what the hell, I'm going to go ahead and write them and ask if they would like me to join. So I came along in, goodness, I want to say it was October of last year, and then later this past spring, we also brought in Connor Smith. And it's just the four of us.
Wow, what are you doing this? Well, you do a really awesome job.
Thanks.
All right, we've got big topics going on here. Let's start with some of your personal views on how we bisexuals and non-monosexuals are represented in the media. Big topic. Sarah.
You know, I don't want to sound overly grim, but I just feel like the representation that we get, number one, we don't get much of it. It is such a small amount. When you look at, people talk about the LGBT publishing world or the LGBT books or LGBT this and that. Really what they're talking about is gay with a little bit of lesbian and transgender sprinkles in there.
Right.
And really a lot of what we do at Bisexual Books, or at least what we started out doing, you know, me and Ellie talked about basically playing book detective with overly vague book jacket copy. You know, you'd get a book and you'd be like, this gripping coming of age of sexual exploration and the breaking of certain boundaries as she steps out of her comfort zone and explores. And you'd be like, I don't know if this has any bisexuals in it, but you would try to read these really vague book jackets, because they never would come out and say, like, you know, so-and-so is bisexual, or even most of the time make it really clear, like, you know, she's engaged to this guy and she meets this girl. It's always, when bisexual books do seem to exist, they are crouched in just the weirdest vague language. And so what you can sometimes find is romances, but a lot of them are, I don't know, I'm not really super a fan of this cliche that goes, I was engaged to / married to a person, you know, of another gender, and then I started cheating with a person of the same gender and it blew my mind, because those books are almost never really about bisexuality. They're usually really thinly veiled in about a lot of cliches. It's always the terrible abusive husband or the shrill doesn't understand me wife, and then the person who's going on this journey of self-exploration or whatever they're calling it, finds a person of the same gender and it blows their mind and they're like, but this person really loves me and cares about me. And I find that to be really tedious. And that's really almost what you get most of the time. You don't get bisexual space pirate captains. You don't get, like, bisexual heroes. Sometimes you get bisexual villains, particularly when it comes to female villains. They're very sexualized. You've got the morally ambiguous sexy assassin trope, or the, you know, basically like the dominatrixy evil villainess that's going to use their feminine wiles to seduce men and women alike.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, yeah. I swear, if you removed all the, like, the overly sexualized female villains or morally ambiguous characters and all the people who are cheating, it's almost nothing. It's so slim.
Yes. 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 And I always wonder, you know, I always feel like this is definitely not bisexuals writing these books. You know, I don't know.
I don't think most of them are. I mean, well, and some of it is you don't really know, because so few bisexuals are out, and that includes bisexual authors. You know, it's a real boon for us whenever I find an author that actually says, I am bisexual, or I am non-monosexual, pansexual, fluid, even queer in a way where you understand what they mean by queer is non-monosexual. Because if these people are themselves bi, they're closeted about it professionally and they don't discuss it in their media and their whatever. You know, but a lot of the times, especially with the sexy villain tropes, they're written by straight men. And they do, they do come across as though they were written by straight men. And they come across as though they're written by straight men, for straight men, for that sort of almost lesbian porn-esque titillation factor. And not for any attempt to have representation or to really tell a dynamic story about queer women. And I don't know where the bisexual men are. I mean, I've been picking up rocks for the last 18 months.
Yeah.
Looking behind the bushes. And it's like finding a rainbow with a, like, it's like finding a double rainbow with a leprechaun at the bottom and a pot of gold when you do find a well-written bisexual male character. I'm sure Evan could talk more about that.
Yeah. Speaking of Evan, hey. What do you think? Hey.
Definitely along the lines of where are the bisexual male characters or authors for that matter. I think in the year I've been with the blog, I've seen maybe two. And even then there were occasions where they were problematic. But for me, I think that regardless of where we even get the occasional bi possible character, I'm still waiting for the magic words "I'm bisexual" to cross any character's lips. Because it's just completely absent from everything we see, all of the books, nothing on TV. I don't think there's a single character on TV that we could say is bisexual who also says that they're bisexual, and I think that's a big, huge mess of a problem.
And I'd also like to add, I don't know where the transgender, bisexual people are, male, female, or non-binary. I mean, those stories, if I'm struggling to find any bisexuals, I'm more likely to find women. And, you know, if it's in transgender lit somewhere, like as a sub-subgenre, that the characters are also bisexual, it's almost treated like an afterthought because most transgender lit books are so focused on the transgender aspect, either because it is a trans person writing about their own experiences or because it's being written by a cis person who's sort of, I don't want to say gawking, but I'm going to say gawking at trans people. And so you don't get any sort of real deep analysis when you have those characters, particularly in mainstream books. Maybe more if it was, you know, independent press, you know, things like Nevada by, what is that woman's name? Imogen Beam? I don't know. Don't quote me on the author's last name. Those are obviously, you know, written with a far more for trans people, but, you know, when transgender people show sexual lit, it's always presented as though they're quote unquote straight or else they're just there to be gawked at.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I think gawked at is a perfect way of saying that. Odd, how about you?
Oh boy. There, as a trans non-binary person, I'm just agreeing with Sarah. Like, trying to find myself or even someone who vaguely kind of resembles, like, being a non-binary bi person is just impossible. I think it's going to be one of those cases where, even though we're already doing so much, I feel like we're going to have to make our own stuff and share it around before any big publishers or even little publishers, really, even get, like, a hint that we exist and that we're a market and we'd like things, please. And another thing that has always bothered me, because I remember being a teenager and really into, like, fandom stuff, is, like, he can't be gay or have sex with that other character, or she can't, because that would make them gay and they have canon straight interests. And I'm like, have you heard of this wonderful new product called bisexual?
This wonderful new product called bisexuals.
And it was really frustrating. I've gotten kind of maybe a little more cranky with the media in my old age of almost 30. But at this point, like, I remember when – does anyone here remember or watch Arrow on – I think it's the CW. It's like a DC Comics show about Green Arrow.
Yeah, every
anyone?
Now and then.
Okay.
I watched a couple episodes, yeah.
I liked that show, and then they're like, Black Canary, and I'm like, oh, cool. finally a female character that doesn't annoy the crap out of me. Because I don't like Laurel. I think she's a really annoying character. But, so Black Canary comes on and she's all badass and really cool. And then she like totally kisses, I think her name's pronounced Nissa Al Ghul, who's also a bad guy. But I don't think we're supposed to know that yet. And I was like, oh yeah, Black Canary's bi, I'm so excited, let's do this thing. And then the producers were like, no, we don't want to label her, but she totally had lesbian relationships before. And I'm like, you just did the thing! You labeled her!
Yeah! You don't want to label her, but you labeled her!
I'm like, what?!
I don't want to label this person is almost always, in my experience, code for I don't want to label them as bi.
Yeah, that's 100% what I've found.
Because I don't know where these people are that are, you know, you don't see it in lesbian literature. Lesbian literature, and I'm not as big into, like, lesbian literature as Ellie is, but Ellie's one of my co-blogger Eleanor Moss's passions is like lesbian romances, particularly like your sort of bold stroke books, like what you would think of as cheesy lesbian romances. Those characters never shy away from describing themselves as lesbians. I mean, you're not talking about highbrow lit. It's just, of course, it's like, you know, the sky is blue, the grass is green, and I'm a lesbian, and we've all moved on. But you get into any sort of story about bisexuality, and then all of a sudden people start clutching their pearls and being like, but we can't, but labels, do we really need labels? Labels are for soup cans. And I'm like, I want to pick up a soup can and hit you with it right now.
Yeah, that's one of the things what bothers me the most is somebody says, well, you have to approach this in a different way. Da, da, da. And I say, look, they say I'm gay and I'm lesbian and I'm homosexual all the time on TV. I have never yet heard anybody say I'm bi yet because it's not approachable, you know, and it's very irritating for me.
But after the whole Black Canary on Arrow thing, I found out the producers, I was really, really just soured on the whole show. And I know it's probably, like, I've watched a little bit after it, but it's gone from my, oh, yay, a new episode's out, must watch, to, well, if I'm really, really bored and my other option is cleaning the litter boxes, I guess I'll watch this. So it does affect viewership. At least they're losing, I mean, maybe not a substantial amount of viewers, but they're losing viewers still when they pull crap like that.
Oh, how do you think, John?
Yeah, you know, it kind of come up in a little bit. I mean, it's still kind of modern. But there's a whole history of pulp novels, lesbian novels, gay novels, bisexual novels, the dime store paperback kind of novels that really exist way before Stonewall. So it's interesting to hear that these kind of romances still kind of exist within those worlds. But what I was going to talk about was that we do still have to read into the subtext in order to find our bi characters in a lot of books, in a lot of mainstream books especially. I read A Married Man, and because that does have an openly bisexual character, you know, main character in it. One of the problems I had with that is, you know, he's sick. He's dying of AIDS when he's with his male partner. And the only way you can be openly bi in a major novel is if you die from AIDS. and that's been plots along the stream of not just literature, but in movies, etc. And it's just one of those, like, oh, okay, it's, oh, now here's an openly bi character, he's going to die. It's almost like being one of those newly created characters in a Star Trek episode, and you know, like, by the second or third scene they're going to be the ones that go away. The other thing is that a lot of times when we are represented, we're represented by stereotypes, and really we're not fully rounded characters in these books. But we're basically central casting villains that aren't very complex, that are used in the plot. And there's a lot of pieces of bisexual stereotypes that come out in these plots and how we're used, like the femme fatale, which has been mentioned before. You know, this is the scheming woman who is a sociopath who is using a man, but really is in love with the woman. And at the end of the, you know, at the end, he's gonna be like cast off, and she's gonna go out with her girlfriend with all the money. That's a very, very typical plot in a lot of noir, in film noir and in noir kind of novels and such. And I think that one of the problems is that we are very complex. We have problems. Society has put us in boxes, and our escape from those boxes sometimes can be very violent or can be very hard on ourselves or on other people. And to make well-rounded bisexual characters, it has to really focus on our whole lives, and popular fiction isn't going to do that.
So you're saying that basically a bisexual representation, we're all either red shirts or sociopaths.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's how it looks, doesn't it?
It really does.
It's very rare that we're not. And the only times that we're not is usually, I mean, the bisexual written novels that I've read, right? And they go all the way back to, you know, Oscar Wilde. And even then, of course, because he's writing at the time that he's writing, you really have to read between the lines to figure out some of the things that he's saying. And he's such a wordsmith that you can take something 27 different ways.
Mm-hmm. That's something that I just flashed on recently, because, of course, everybody knows I just came out recently. And when I read The Importance of Being Earnest years ago, it means it's something totally different to me now. Of course, you know, there's a whole different whole different way of looking at that play now than I ever did before. In fact, a lot of what was going on in the play I didn't understand before, and now it makes pretty good sense.
Well, and I think
a lot of people that produce it don't understand what's going on in it either. So, you know,
yeah,
it's funny. I had a copy years ago that was used for production, and to look at all the notes in it, it was just too funny that how much they were missing. The director of that play, wherever it was produced, missed in terms of reading the characters in that and reading what was actually being said, as opposed to, you know, what he thought was being said.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, and I think that gets into another issue, which is that there are some bisexual characters out there who don't fall into stereotypes, but finding them, bisexual readers cannot find this shit. I don't know if I can swear. Bisexual.
Oh, you can swear all you want. Okay. We swear all the time.
All right. bisexual readers just can't find it, and it's not that they're not looking, it's that they don't. The amount of work it takes to discover and uncover these things, because they're written in coded ways. And I'm not just talking about Oscar Wilde. I mean, even books published now. I mean, I get regular emails from all sorts of book publishers. I get, for example, I also get Lambda Literary's emails, you know, all the time. And even in their reviews, I have to go, like, spelunking and reading between the lines, you know, is this brilliant exploration of the difficulties of, you know, a queer person's life, it doesn't have any bisexual content. They just don't use the word bisexual at all. It isn't used, it isn't conceived of, it isn't a commonly used tag on websites. There is no bisexual section on Amazon. Most bookstores that if they have any sort of queer books at all, are gay and lesbian books, or are labeled gay and lesbian section, particularly at Barnes & Noble. That seems to be a nationwide chain decision that their section is called gay and lesbian. And you can sometimes find things in there, but it means that most of what you're looking for, it's just so difficult to find, even when a really good character does come along, or a really good book does come along. And I think that the Bisexual Book Awards, which just finished their second year, show us that there are really well-written bi characters. We didn't have any problems getting nominees. I was a judge for YA this year. You know, we had, I think in the end, we had like 19 nominations, which was more than they'd ever had, you know, for any category for YA. They're there. It's the finding them that is the difficult part. And then you have, you know, bisexual people who either because, you know, they're lonely and isolated or just because they want to read a nice book. I mean, it's so hard for them to find.
Got to agree with you there. Just really, they make it as difficult as possible for us to find our culture, and I guess it's up to us to do that.
Well, we are doing it, and
we've had
a couple of incredible bisexual authors on our show to talk about their incredible bisexual fiction books. So we just have to keep doing that because it's up to us to do it.
And that will encourage the budding artists to pursue that. And that's one of the things that I really, really find encouraging is, you know, finding our talent out there and getting them to contribute, huh?
Right.
Yes. Well, let's start breaking this down. We're all going to have areas we want to talk about. I want to start with our favorite and deltas. Examples in the sci-fi, fantasy, and monster genres, and we'll go through. I'll ask as we go through each one of them, which is up. Then, you know, I look at the new Doctor Who and Torchwood, especially Torchwood, as being a very bi-friendly production. Lost Girl, the lead character is bisexual, and people can talk about Buffy the Vampire Slayer and Willow's bisexuality, non-bisexuality through the course of the run. And, you know, I was also going to think about monsters. I think about vampires especially. There's just generally not too many bisexual zombies because they're not very sexual creatures. But I will say that within the zombie genre, there are bisexual human characters, maybe situationally bisexual, or maybe they've been bisexual the whole time. When there's not a lot of people left, your standards go down a little bit.
Or up. Let's say up.
Yeah.
So, Sarah, can you start?
Yeah, absolutely. For me, probably one of the best fantasies that I've read recently was Otherbound by Corinne Davis, who is I don't know how to say her name, but she is herself a bisexual author and wrote this really beautiful bisexual fantasy novel. Basically, it goes back and forth between two protagonists, one of whom is a bisexual woman in what we would think of as a fantasy world. There's magic. It's vaguely medieval in that way that fantasy worlds often are. And then there is the other protagonist, his name is Nolan, and he's a Latino teen boy living in our world. And about the ways that basically every time Nolan closes his eyes, he sees her world, Amara's world. And he basically, because of this, you know, because he kind of gets sucked into the story, like imagining a television show that you're only catching when you close your eyes, he gets kind of sucked into it, and he's been diagnosed with like an epileptic seizure disorder, but he doesn't really have seizures per se. He just sort of goes into her world and sees things through her eyes. And I thought that was a really beautiful fantasy, that had a lot of the elements that you think of that people want in a fantasy. It had a sort of coming of age element. It had a learning to use my magical powers kind of element. It had a really rich world-building element. And that book is Otherbound by Corinne Device. Also, a classic is Swords Point by Ellen Kushner. Sort of a classic Three Musketeers-esque fantasy swords and, you know, sexy people having duels and, you know, fighting for love and honor and money and all of that sort of things in a fantasy world. Those are both really good examples for me of fantasy genres, but unfortunately, your fantasy sci-fi supernatural genre is where you see a lot of these, what I would call sexy villains. And even you see, even when they're not terribly written, in the case of like Loki in Marvel Comics, where it's like, oh, it's a sexy bi gender bending villain. You don't see sexy bi gender bending heroes.
Exactly.
It's always the sexy bi gender bending villain. And there's, and there are some very well written versions of that sexy bi gender bending villain. I'm not saying, you know, oh, we can't ever be villains, because absolutely I believe that, you know, bisexual people are just as capable of being the bad guy as being the hero. But when you only ever see portrayals of bisexual people as the sexy bad guy, or girl, you know, male or female, it really, I think it leaves a bad taste in bisexual readers' mouths sometimes about the conventions of the genre, you know, and this is where you see a lot of bi erasure as well. I mean, I feel like characters who are in romances or contemporary books set in our current realistic time period are more likely to use words like bisexual, whereas once you put people in a fantasy world, all of a sudden, authors shy away from that. Well, I don't want to label them. Well, that word doesn't exist in my land full of, you have a land full of dwarves and orcs and, you know, dragons or vampires, but the word bisexual can't exist there.
Right.
Like, yeah. it seems, and it's so taken for granted in that genre. I had a private conversation with Corinne Duvice, who wrote Otherbound. I don't know if I mentioned this, but she is herself bisexual, talking about, you know, some of the stereotypes and things. And she said, you know, I didn't even think about, when I was writing it, I didn't even think about the fact that I didn't use the word bisexual to describe Amara. And now I wish I had, but at the time it was just, it was so ingrained that obviously she wouldn't use that word. And then you stop to say, why? And I think that a lot of authors have never stopped to ask themselves why their clearly bisexual character doesn't use that word, or why a lot, you know, there's a lot of words from our culture in fantasy worlds. Why is that one sort of the unspoken, can't use it word?
Well, I think that we can't use it because of all of the negative connotations that everyone else attaches to it when we do end up seeing it. I mean, nobody seems to be putting forth the effort to make the positive representations and attach them to bisexuality. So when we still see bisexuality, it's still always just the negative and just the negative. And we want our characters to be lovable and to be accepted. And for some reason, people have that disconnect where then they can't put bisexual to it because everyone else in society sees it as just the femme fatale or the sociopath or the desperate cheater, you know.
Mm-hmm. It's great. That's perfect.
The odd?
In the areas of sci-fi, fantasy, and monsters, I don't know if Neil Gaiman's Sandman comic books count under sci-fi, fantasy, or monsters.
I would say they do.
Three.
I think so.
But Desire was, you know, the manifestation of all desire, like the anthropomorphized version. And they were, you know, openly bisexual, and they appeared however you desired them most. And they were a really interesting character, and it was always fun to see how the different artists were going to draw them. Then again, Desire had, like, that same villain problem where they instigated a lot of shit. And so it wasn't the best representation, but I just thought it was cool. I really can't think. I'm totally drawing a blank on sci-fi and fantasy. This is really sad. I really don't think I've ever really read a book or watched a show that had good bi characters in it, or characters that weren't completely and utterly so offensive that I have apparently locked them from my mind. So that's all I got, guys.
Okay. Well, you know, I think for me, the new Doctor Who, and especially that it's a very popular show now. And when Captain Jack turned up and Torchwood came, Captain Jack became bisexual version of the friend of Dorothy. So if we can, as bisexuals, kind of identify ourselves a lot of times just by being fanatically into Torchwood and Captain Jack Harkness and his bisexuality. And, you know, of course, it's about the, you know, he says, you know, I'm from the 52nd century. Everybody is bisexual in the 52nd century. So I think that's a really great positive bisexual character, in kind of the sci-fi fantasy genre, that's still around. Another one to me is Lost Girl. And, you know, Bella is very complex and she's a succubus. So, you know, there's been some question about, oh, is that a very positive bisexual role model, with someone who, like, has to eat from other people? But really, Bo is the star of that show, and she's a very positive character. And even when she makes mistakes, she's always trying to do the right thing. She's really kind of, you know, that superhero type, but complex. And, you know, she's got a male and a female who love her to death, and it's always about, like, is she going to make a choice? When she's making those choices, how they impact the overall storyline, etc. The other thing is, you know, I put in monsters because I wanted to talk a little bit about how vampires are, how bisexuals are used in the vampire genre. And a lot of times it's not a very positive representation of bisexuality when, you know, the characters in a show or a movie or a novel are vampires that are bisexual, because vampires generally aren't protagonists or antagonists in literature. And there is a real history of it, and, you know, we're seeing a little bit. I pretty much gave up on True Blood for a lot of reasons, but one of the reasons is because of the way bisexuality was handled in that show. It was, and the other piece is that I'm a big fan of the Southern vampire mysteries, of which True Blood is based, and the way the bisexuality is dealt with in the novels is very different than it's dealt with in the TV show. In the novels, the vampires represent gay people coming out of the coffin. The wares represent bisexuals who are human, who have always lived in their various worlds. And none of that is really captured in a TV show. And the other piece is that, you know, Sookie's part in True Blood is nothing like it is in the novel. She's a very good person who is always trying to be moral in the novels. And a lot of it gets missed in the TV coverage of it. But there's long history. I remember years ago when The Hunger came out, Catherine Deneuve and Susan Sarandon and David Bowie. And that's a real, that's a sexy R-rated vampire show with a lot of bisexuality, on the screen. And, you know, overall, I just felt like, wow, you know, it just, you know, it's pretty full of stereotypes. And it's just common in that genre.
Well, and I think if you're interested specifically in bisexuality and vampires, Maria Sanfilippa, who wrote The B Word, which is a book about, in general, media criticism of film and television, has a whole section on, you know, bisexual vampires and how that trope functions, particularly around bisexual women, and also a really interesting point that as soon as I read it, I thought, oh my God, duh, but I had never thought of it before reading it in her book, was that they're always described as lesbian vampires. Hunger is described as a lesbian vampire movie, you know, as though, but really these characters are bisexual. And that the, especially in the vampire genre itself, that there is so much bisexuality at the same time there is so much bi erasure. Lack of willingness to use the word bisexual even when it clearly applies, you know, such as in the case of, you know, The Hunger, which is very clearly to me a bisexual movie, but I had heard described a million times as lesbian vampires, lesbian vampires, lesbian vampires. And mm-hmm. how much of the trope of the lesbian vampire is really actually the trope of the bisexual vampire. But is sort of mislabeled and misaligned. I absolutely recommend to anybody who's interested in, you know, a really more in-depth critical analysis of television and film, The B-Word by Maria Sanfilippo. Oh, I'm so terrible with names. is a really good in-depth analysis of a lot of these things.
Yes, we have to review that book.
We do, and make sure we get those links so we can provide them. Okay, Sarah? Great.
Well, the book is already in our library, so if people want to order it and give us like 2 or 3 pennies from Amazon, just go order it.
Yeah, so speaking of erasure and television, well, kind of a television, I guess I'll try to cover Willow when I'm speaking about Buffy the Vampire Slayer, of course, and Joss Whedon and the decision to make Willow a lesbian. When it's obvious to many of us that Willow is actually bisexual. And it's a big craw that sticks to most of our throats. Now, I understand the discourse that goes on between the lesbian and bisexual community over this, and there is a big, big fight that is going on. Because Willow and Tara's relationship, and Willow is an icon to young lesbians who are fragile just coming out and identify with Willow because a lot of them feel like, well, I'm not lesbian enough. I had a relationship with a guy. I can see that point. I do. I understand that it was groundbreaking for her to come out and have a loving relationship with Tara on screen. It was presented very well. But the fact remains that, for all rights and purposes, Willow is bisexual. And I know we can't label people or we can't rewrite people. But, you know, she was written by the authors as lesbian. They state she's lesbian, so we have to call her a lesbian. I mean, that's the way it is. But, you know, it still burns me quite a bit because, they made a conscious choice not to say or make her bisexual, to put her in the lesbian form.
Well, and I would just like to say that when it comes to applying labels to people, I'm a big believer, yes, you should not label individual, actual human beings against their will as something they wouldn't label themselves. But when you get into the realm of characters, I think that for me personally, and this is something we've confronted in doing this blog, you know, I consider Willow a bisexual character. I don't think that you really do need to split hairs that much because despite her saying, you know, at one point describing herself as gay, I call myself gay all the time. You know,
yeah.
That doesn't mean she's not also bisexual. And it's very particular. Willow never does say, I am a lesbian. There is some, you know, jokes about, like, lesbian love and sapphic love, but she never uses the words, I am a lesbian. Where you get that from is from the creator side. You know, similar to what was going on in Arrow, where all of a sudden they said, well, but we're not going to label her, whatever. You have Joss Whedon saying Willow is a lesbian, but that interpretation in some way isn't supported by the text of the show he actually created. And so, I mean, just me personally, I don't have a problem saying this character is bisexual, that character is bisexual, you know, even if that's not the word the character used, because I'm like, these aren't real people.
Yeah, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, I have to agree. But yeah, I think they really dropped the ball on that. I think their decision to not touch the bisexual thing was, you know, just really reinforced our stereotypes and did damage. And, you know, I have a hard time with that because I have a lot of affection and respect for Joss Whedon and what he's done. But it's unfortunate. I hope he grows and can address this someday in some kind of form, in writing or something.
Let's start with the next topic, serious fiction. You know, when I look at it, I think of those writers who have written really good bisexual characters and bisexual novels in the mainstream, especially. They're bisexuals. You know, Octavia Butler and Marge Piercy, Ursula Le Guin, Starhawk. They're all, even John Cheever, you know, all bisexual authors who have been able to write in serious literature really good, rounded bisexual characters. Can we start on that? And let's start with Sarah.
I think that definitely there's been, in some ways, the best portrayals of bisexual people as multifaceted characters does come in what we would consider serious or literary fiction. They're actually, I think, less likely to use the word bisexual, which grates my cheese, but nobody uses the word bisexual. We did a post a while back, you know, dear authors, you haven't realized it, but your realistic serious fiction book takes place in a fantasy world. It takes place on a magical island where everything's the same, except for the word bisexual apparently doesn't exist in the English language. And the island of no bisexuals. But you do see in serious literary fiction, I think, more of a in-depth character study of a particular character who is going through something, who maybe, you know, has attractions to people of multiple genders. And I'm thinking particularly of My Education by Susan Choi this year, that won a Lambda Literary Award, was a really good exploration, you know, from a character standpoint, but again, didn't use the word bisexual to describe it. That serious, more literary fiction is sometimes where you can really get deep into the heads of these characters who are what I would describe as bisexual. It's just unfortunate that also this is where you tend to find the most straight people writing. I've noticed just in what I've seen that the queer people are primarily writing in sci-fi, fantasy, and romance. And the serious literary fiction is dominated so thoroughly by white straight guys. And so while they do sometimes hit on a really good John Irving, who had a book last year, and I'm blanking on the title of it right now, but it's a mixed bag. In some ways, serious literary fiction lets you get deep in these characters' heads, and on the other hand, it can also be some of the most bi-erasure-y things because these people have no concept of bisexuality or bisexual community, and sometimes I just wonder if they think, oh, I'm a serious literary writer, I can write about whatever, and I don't need to really research it.
One of my favorite novelists is Marge Piercy, and you know, she's an openly bisexual writer and a radical. I mean, Vita was really, when I read Vita, it's a very important novel to me, not only because of the bisexual protagonist, but also a history of the New Left and the Underground and what happened to people when politics and the New Left changed in the 70s. But another one is one of her sci-fi novels, The Woman on the Edge of Time, which is really, you know, looking at the future and how people will be in the future as opposed to how they are today. So, you know, and of course, Starhawk's The Fifth Sacred Thing is a great book that talks about a completely changed world where we can actually live in it. And removing, you know, patriarchal structures of sexuality is a part of that. And then another really important novelist to me was Octavia Butler, who always wrote in genre, but was writing very, you know, she was writing science fiction and fantasy, but she was writing nothing but serious books. And she was groundbreaking in a lot of ways, being black and bisexual and writing in the science fiction world and being accepted in that world. And she always had bisexual characters. She had trans characters. Her world is about who's oppressed and who's not oppressed, and how that the dynamics of power relationships work. And it includes sexuality so much in all of her work. So there are people to be reading, and there are bisexual novelists that if we haven't gone through them yet, we really need to, and because there's some great work out there. That's my two cents for fiction.
Thank you. We will continue with part two of our discussion on bisexual representation in the media. But this comes into us from Martin Rollins Finn of the Bay Area Bisexual Network. They will be hosting on August 23rd their Bi-Trans Brunch, a.k.a. Martin's birthday. That will be from 12:30 to 3 p.m. at the Grapevine at 216 Church Street in San Francisco. Please RSVP on the event page and show up for that. That sounds like it's going to be a good time. They also will be having the Bi Boys Happy Hour meetup group, and you can find details for that. The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of BiNet USA or the Bicast crew.